Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 113, Be an Influencer, Part 1. Guest Minister Alejandro Arias delivered this message on February 2nd, 2020.
Halloween. We don't observe the holiday, but Rebecca had some leftover Jesus films from something we were doing in the city called Saturate America. I don't know if you're familiar with Saturate America, but in Orlando, they distributed more than 700,000 Jesus films in the city. And this is in partnership with something that we're doing, which is 40 Days of Love. And the strategy is prayer, sharing, care. And it's very familiar, very much in the same vein of Revive and all these great ministries that are promoting the gospel in America and around the world. And I know you guys are doing Revive at the moment here in Indiana, I believe. And it's amazing. It's amazing. When you promote the gospel, you will find out that not many people out there, although they call themselves Christians and profess to be Christians, they're not born again. So when you get right down to it, you will realize they're not born again. They go to church, they warm up a pew, but they're not really, they haven't had an encounter with Jesus. And so when they have an encounter with Jesus, it's life-changing, it's life-transforming. Amen? So we had a pile left of these movies, and Kirill had a great idea. She's like, well, today's Halloween, kids come for sweets. I'm going to give them the Jesus movie. And I said, I agree to that. That bears witness with my spirit. We're going to do it together. Two kids came, knocked on the door. She gave those Jesus movies away. I mean, she was serious. She was really committed to do that. And anyway, so God is good. I have two video clips that I want to show you and tell you more about. Are we ready yet? Not yet. Okay, that's fine. So before I go into the message, we have these forms that we would like to give you. So as I'm preaching, you can pray and look at these forms and consider filling them out before you leave the premises. So the form is a multi-use form. You can sign up for our newsletter and find out what we're doing all over the world. You can also pre-order our books. We have three books available. Boy Preachers, My Story, When I Was Called to Preach the Gospel at the Age of 11, and How All This Started When I Was 5 Years Old, and How the Lord Began to Use Me at the Age of 5. Even when my dad was not a believer, I actually brought him to Christ at the age of 12. My mom came to the Lord when I was 7, and I had a supernatural encounter with God. I was healed of a deadly tumor between my lungs and my heart at the age of 8. All of these can be read, and you can actually learn more about this story, and you can be inspired to pursue the supernatural. How many of you love the supernatural? I love the supernatural. So you can read more about my supernatural testimony by getting one of these books, Boy Preacher. I highly recommend it to you. Friends of His Presence is very good. It's about befriending, walking in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and how to grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. How to become a friend of God. And the third book, which is my favorite too, my wife wrote it, Revelation Ready, The Signs of the End Times, How to Prepare for the Times We're Living Now. And it has a checklist at the end of the book, and you go through it. It's very manual, very practical. Since she's a primary school teacher, well, she used to exercise it. Not anymore. She's a full-time mom and also a homeschool mom. So, you know, that's a lot on her plate at the moment. So she's teaching our daughter, Carrielle. But she wrote it in a way that most people will actually get it, understand it. And so you will be very blessed. You would be very, very blessed. So you can tick one of the boxes and let us know which book you would like. Please don't write in hieroglyphics. We need to understand what you're saying. So we can process a book order, print in block letters. It would be favorable. And if you would like to receive our monthly newsletter, you can also on the back of the form, you will see that there is a way for you to join our ministry in prayer and join our ministry as you partner with us and help us carry this gospel to many nations. We've done it in more than 45 nations and 5 continents in the last 20 years. Help us reach more. In April, we're going to Europe. I have an invitation to go to Angola, Africa, in May to be part of a 52 crusade initiative. We are covering saturating the whole continent of Africa with gospel crusades. We're also doing pastors trainings, and we're training people in South and Central America with pastors conferences. And it would be amazing if you can join us in this mission of helping equip the body of Christ. There is no better time to reach the world than now. God wants us to reach the world now. Help us reach America, Australia, and the rest of the world. And you can also fill out that section if you would like to order one of those books. There is a credit card form on the back. Also, for those who would like to pray for our ministry and our family, grab one of these at the end. It's got the beautiful picture of our family and my two cute, I'm biased to say that, but I think they're very cute. So, Celeste and Kiriel, you can put it on your fridge or put it somewhere and pray for us as we keep doing this around the world. We are full-timers, missionaries, evangelists. We go around the world, so that's our assignment, and we've been doing this for a while. Anyways, so my title is Being an Influencer, Not a Conformer. That is the title for this message, and I'm going to preach based on... based on, if you open your Bibles in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible talks about, you know, this heavenly encounter of the prophet praying for his servant, for his eyes to open, because the servant was terrified, and he thought that was going to be the end of his life when he saw the armies and the chariots and everyone around the house. And he thought, this is it, I'm done. But the prophet prayed, you know, for the Lord to open his eyes. And this is what happens next. So let's open our Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 says, "And with the servant of the men of God arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" How many of you agree with that? Amen. "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I prayed, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and I said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." You know, Elisha was a prayer warrior. He was a man on an assignment. He was a man on a mission. And if you met Elisha, you didn't want to mess with him, because you could end up being, you know what happened. The story, you know, where the bears came down and devoured the young men that were laughing, you know, they were mocking. So you got to understand that Elisha was a very prophetic man. He carried a greater anointing than Elijah. In fact, the bones of Elisha had such an anointing that someone, you know, if you read the scripture, one time, many years later, someone fell on the graveyard, and just by touching the soil, this person was raised from the dead, because the anointing was like captured in the body. Isn't that something? Captured in the vessel. Now, we're not to worship bones or people, but I think that's pretty amazing. Hello? I think that's amazing. So Elisha was a man who carried an incredible anointing. He was an influencer. He was not someone who would settle for less. He will not settle for anything less than the anointing. He was not a conformer. He was an influencer. And God is calling you and me to become voices of influence in a dark, lost, broken world. And if you don't realize this, America needs more evangelism than ever. You know, we may have a Christian administration or Christian-friendly administration, but that does not mean we have Christian born-again, spirit-filled people all over our White House. We have a lot of battles going on. We went to D.C. and we felt the demonic opposition. I mean, there is a battle going on. How many of you agree with that? So we need to be influencers. And how can we be people that carry influence? Number one, we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, number one, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I love being led by the Holy Spirit because often you will have divine appointments. Your life will not be nominal. It will not be ordinary. And it will not be just a normal life. Don't settle for a normal life. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Don't settle for a normal life. Because God has a supernatural life for you. You know, I love watching Sid Roth. It's supernatural, natural. How many have you seen that show? It's awesome, isn't it? And all the stories and the testimonies and the amazing things they share in that TV show. It's so faith uplifting and encouraging, isn't it? It's amazing. So be an influencer. How can you be an influencer? You need to be led by the Holy Spirit to engage in conversations that will change people's lives. Amen. Number one, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit to witness to those who God puts that prompting and reminder. Don't ever ignore or disregard the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I think they're born again. Because you will find out that many people in America are not born again. In fact, can I give you some numbers? And these numbers are pretty, pretty cool. But we need to pray. They're not cool. They're actually upsetting, to be honest. Americans who self-identify as evangelicals. 24% of the population, yes. 12% no. I mean, not sure. And 64% of the population that was surveyed said no. This is a survey that came out of Christianity Today, just recently. Self-identify as born again. Now, this is amazing. Only 29% said yes, 65% said no, and 6% said not sure. Have evangelical beliefs. 15% said yes, 85% said no. And in that 85% that was surveyed, most of them were millennials. Would self-identify as evangelical if the term had nothing to do with politics? And this is amazing. 25% said yes. 62% said no. 13% said not sure. Which means America is a mission field. Whether you like it or not, whether you would think, no, America is a Christian nation. It is. But we are living in a mission field where we need to understand that over the years, over many decades, the enemy has been indoctrinizing a new generation with beliefs in themselves, self-preaching, self-belief, self-goodness, self-mercy, self-help. Everything is about yourself. And so when we get God, when we take God out of the picture and everything becomes about myself, then we become a selfish society. We become a selfish nation. And that's what we've become over the many, many, many years. You know, we've become self-driven. Everything is about yourself. You know, happy you. You know, You need to be happy. And all the messages that we are preaching in most churches are self-driven. But I believe the Lord is awakening the church, and the Lord is sounding a wake up, you know, alarm in the church, and there is a remnant, and I believe you guys are part of that, where God is now he's enlisting an army of people that are not going to settle for anything less but to see a great move of God in our nation again. Come on. We are seeing a wake up. We are seeing another wake up. And I believe there is going to be a third great awakening before Jesus returns. My conviction, my faith is that we are going to see a third great awakening. You know, the second great awakening happened in the 1900s. And because of the second great awakening, most of the world, you know, was evangelized because of that awakening. You know, Australia, England, America, Ireland, all these nations propagated the gospel around the world because of the second great awakening. But I'm believing for a third great awakening. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe the Lord is about to do something?
Yes.
And in the midst of heavy and thick darkness, in the midst of a political society, in the midst of a society that has completely sold out its soul to compromise with the values of this world. In the midst of a society that would rather promote an advertisement of drag queens instead of pro-life. So I know. It's happening. Hello? And I know some of you are like, I'm going to watch Super Bowl tonight despite of the ads. Well, how about you pre-record and you come to church tonight?
Amen.
How does that sound?
Hallelujah.
Don't you love technology? You can just pre-record it and come to church.
And
God can have an appointment with you. And the pain that your chiropractor couldn't get rid of, Jesus can get rid of it in 1 minute.
Amen.
In 1 second. Last Sunday, someone came to our meeting, and this lady was in so much pain. She had a car accident a few weeks ago. She couldn't move. She was like walking like a statue. She came into the building. She was in agonizing pain. She was there, standing there during the worship, and the power of God hit her, and all the pain that she couldn't manage, she couldn't get rid of, that no chiropractor or doctor could have healed, Jesus took it away in 1 second.
Amen.
She came forward, testified. She said, I don't know what happened, but when you were praying, all the pain just went, left. Praise God. So God can heal you this morning. But if you're too keen on watching the Super Bowl, you may miss out on a miracle. Hello? So pre-record it and come back tonight. Hallelujah. Come on. Does that sound like a plan? Does that sound like a plan? Praise God for technology. Amen. So being an influencer, being led by the Holy Spirit to have conversations with people. How can I lead my neighbor to Christ? How can I lead my friends to Christ? You know, I love being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, I grew up in a family that often didn't read the Bible. Thanks, Pastor Harley. Often, you know, my mom came to the Lord when I was 7. But there was a battle going on because my dad was into alcohol. He would waste a whole weekend just drinking, but he had a bar. But we actually, my mom and I, became prayer friends in a way that we would go to the bar, walk around the property, and we were led by the Holy Spirit to do this. We would walk around the property anointed with oil and ask the Holy Spirit to convict my dad and shut down the bar. And sometimes I would sneak out of my house and grab a bunch of napkins and write Christian messages. And those were my tracts. And I would put them in my pocket. And I would go into his bar and give them out. And one day my dad caught me doing that, and he said, "You're going to shut down my business. What are you doing?" He told me off. He was really upset with me. He's like, "You're going to shut down my business." Little did he know that we were praying for the Lord to shut it down. So we were being led by the Holy Spirit. 2 years later, the business was shut down. God answered our prayer. Can you shut down a business when you pray? Well, if you're led by the Holy Spirit and you want to see salvation in your family, that's the direction to go. Amen?
Amen.
Born to walk in freedom and free others. If you are an influencer, you should not have any areas of your life, you know, captivated, captured by the enemy. You are to walk in freedom. Not 30, 60, or 70%, but 100% free.
Amen.
God has given you, the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. And if Jesus is in you, he's called you to be free, and free indeed. So when we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we will have conversations with people that will often turn out to become divine appointments. You know? Don't be afraid. You never know who you're going to meet. One time I met this hip-hop artist on my way from London to New York. I wasn't supposed to be upgraded to first class. And British Airways gave me a survey card and said, "Congratulations, you've been upgraded." And I said, what for? You know, like, I'm not even a member, a frequent flyer of British Airways. Maybe they, you know, because I'm a member of American Airlines and they're part of the same family, maybe they, you know, they saw my name on the list and they thought that this guy flies a lot, so we're going to have him experience our first class amenities. Anyway, I said, praise God, you know, give me that card, give me two, you know. So I filled out the survey, but I knew that God had an appointment for me, because God would have never arranged this unless he had an appointment for me. So I'm on the plane, I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to get really comfortable, and the Lord whispers in my ear, "Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit disrupts what you're doing?" You're about to become comfortable, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, what are you doing? I actually invited you, I upgraded you, so that you can share with the neighbor, with the person next to you." So anyway, I'm getting ready to, you know, just, I mean, it's a 9-hour flight, very nice flight, you know, first class. I mean, what else can you ask, right? So I'm sitting there, and then this guy from New York, hip hop artist, you know, you can see he's got the look, he's got the hairstyle, he's got everything, you know. He's a hip hop top artist, and then I discovered that he was a PK. He was, you know, he had rebelled against the Lord. He turned away. He left church when he was like 20-something. And then he became a very well-known pop artist in New York. And then he was doing a concert in London. He was flying home. So the Lord gave me 9 hours to talk to this guy about Jesus. Praise God. Come on. So I witnessed to him and I said, "Sir, I wasn't meant to be sitting here. In fact, I don't know why I'm sitting here next to you, but I'm talking to you about this amazing encounter that I had with Jesus when I was 8. He healed me." And she's like, "Really? And tell me more." And we became really good friends, because evangelism often should become a relational approach. You need to relate with people from a relational perspective. You're not selling something. You're offering something, which is going to change their life. People are not going to be, you know, touched by the way you sell it, but the way you talk about it, the way your testimony comes out in your conversation. You're not selling the gospel. You're offering the gospel. And number two, you're not offering religion because you're not religious. You are offering a relationship with God. Come on, church. So when people ask me, "Are you religious?" And I tell them, "I'm not." "Do you belong to religion?" "I don't." Why? Because I am a son of God. I belong to the kingdom of God. Come on. I'm a born-again Christian. So that's what I believe. I'm not subscribing to a religion, because I'm not religious. How many of you are part of a religion? You're not. The church is not a religion. The kingdom of God is not a religion. Hello? Tell your neighbor with a big Colgate smile, tell your neighbor, "I hope you're not religious."
I hope you're not religious.
Hello. I hope you are full of the Holy Spirit, full of dynamite, dunamis, power of God. Come on. I hope you can make a difference in this world. I hope you can be a voice of influence and change. I hope you can become a disciple maker. Come on. Because we got too many people warming pews. We need more disciple makers in the church. What you need to understand is the numbers are dropping drastically. People are not attending church like they used to. People are no longer accepting Jesus. Most conversions are recycled. What does that mean? Most people going to big churches are recycled from other churches. Someone say, hello. So when you see a big church on TV and you're like, oh, there's revival in America, you got to do a survey in that church to find out where they came from. A big percentage of that people have already experienced church. They've been through church. But there's a large block of people, a large chunk of people out there who have never heard the gospel in America. They've never been to a church. See, we're often preaching to the same audience. So we need to include unbeliever friends in our prayer list. And when I say unbelievers, I mean it. And don't become uncomfortable when they start swearing and, you know, and mocking you. They did it with Peter. They did it with Paul. We are called to make a difference in their life. I know some Christians that would rather have holy parties than go to a party and make a difference. Hello? If you're invited to a family function, and the moment you see beers and, you know, swearing going on, what are you supposed to do as a disciple maker? Well, if you have your family, it's a different story. But if you're invited there, you're with your wife, are you supposed to just pack your bags and go and leave your family to burn in hell? Hello? Or are you supposed to make a difference while you're in that party and be a thorn in the enemy's shoe? Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God wants you to become a voice. And if you're not a voice, then what are you doing? The thing is, we have become too familiar with Christendom. My friends are Christian. I listen to a Christian radio. I watch Christian TV. I'm surrounded by Christians. I'm surrounded by Bible verses. I'm surrounded by Christian people. I'm always listening, talking, interacting, leaving, eating, and breathing with Christians. That's awesome. But what about the rest? What about the broken? What about the lost sheep? What about the one? As an evangelist, my heart always burns for the one. You know, if I can make a difference in somebody's life, I'll do it. I'll roll down the window and say, where are you going to church today? And they're like, oh, it's Sunday morning. I'm supposed to be in church. But it's sort of a gentle reminder. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying, you know, God is calling you back. And I did it last week. And the lady was so kind. I'm going to a coffee place. The name shall be not mentioned. I will not mention the name. Because, you know, a lot of Christians don't like this chain. But I just can't. I can't stand the other coffee, you know, brands. You know, so I go to SB. And so I'm driving through. And, you know, I don't like to endorse them and support them, but there is no good coffee anywhere else. So you just have to settle for that. Otherwise, you go to McDonald's, which is really bad, too. Well, they're kind of getting better. Anyway, so when you come from, you know, when you've been used to or accustomed to the best coffee, like if you go to Australia and you go to any coffee shop, little coffee shop, you'll come out saying, wow, I want this coffee every day of my life. Because it's thick, it's creamy, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's coffee, it's real coffee. Anyway, it's like the real deal, you know what I'm saying? So, and how many of you love your coffee? Come on. You love your coffee? So, I always say, we need coffee as we need, like, prayer in the morning, every day, you know? We need to pray up and get our coffee into our system. Anyway, so being led by the Holy Spirit to have conversations with people, move in freedom so that we can free others. How can we free others if we are still oppressed? If we're still struggling with something in our flesh, in our bodies, we need to be free. Come on, church. God has called you to be free. Freeing your mind and your spirit and your soul and your body. Your whole body is supposed to walk in freedom. You know, your body, your soul, your spirit, everything. So I encourage you this morning, John 8, verse 36. So if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. You know, I met this lady who has suffered with witchcraft for many years. And she would have, episodes. Every day at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, she would, like, collapse. And she would be unable to work, eat, do anything. And her family was troubled, and they were suffering. They were going through a very difficult time. And I was doing a crusade in Guatemala, and the preacher told me about this, you know, witchcraft, lady possessed by witchcraft, according to what they told me. And they said, oh, you need to come and pray for this lady. And often God is going to lead you to the one. Say it with me, the one. And you got to have time for the one. And you got to set aside time for the one. Because Philip was doing an amazing campaign, seeing salvations and miracles and wonderful things. I mean, if Facebook was around, Philip would have had a million followers. You know, I'm telling you, Philip was having the best time of his life. Live TV, imagine. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, Philip is everywhere. He's doing amazing things for the kingdom. And then all of a sudden says, Philip, I don't need you there anymore. He grabs him and translates him and takes him to where? To the middle of nowhere, to the wilderness. He's left there, and then all of a sudden he finds himself in a place of absolute loneliness. It's a deserted place. But then he finds a man. He finds the one. God wants you to find the one. Come on. You know, and so he finds this man who is reading the scripture. And he was reading about Jesus. But he couldn't understand what he was reading. And so Philip is led by the Holy Spirit, number one, to go and free this man. And this man became an evangelist because this man went back to Ethiopia and he evangelized the empire, because Ethiopia in those days was almost like an empire, a beautiful, big, prosperous nation. So he evangelized. He went back to Ethiopia, and that's why we have Jewish people living in Ethiopia nowadays, because he goes back to all the way to that encounter. When Philip was taken out of his busy schedule doing this amazing campaign, the Lord translated him and took him somewhere else to find the one. Because you never know if the one is going to lead a million. Oh, I'm going to say it again. You never know if the one is going to lead a million. You never know if you're talking to the next, you know, Billy Graham, the next singer, the next, you know, most famous YouTuber in history. You never know who you're talking to. But the moment you are sharing the gospel, you're going to change that person's life. And can I tell you something? It's not your responsibility to change them. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And when you rely on the Holy Spirit, the rest is like a bed of flowers. Come on. Evangelism is not that hard, because it's not your work. You're not toiling to get somebody to coming to the church. You're not doing it, oh, this is my labor. I got to work hard. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He will give you a word of knowledge. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He will show you a picture. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He will bring a prompting, then all of a sudden you will be like, oh, wow, I'm praying for somebody's healing. Rely on the Holy Spirit. He will guide you to a point where your conversation is no longer going to be about politics, but it's going to be about church, about Jesus. Hello? Rely on the Holy Spirit. So I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. I'm led to this, you know, lady's house. We walk, you know, it was in the afternoon, you know, before she had her episode. And it was like 1 o'clock. She invited us to have lunch. We prayed about it. And I was standing there with my dad, I remember. And we prayed. We walked her through deliverance. And the next day, actually, no, the next few hours, this is what happened. So we left the house, 3, 4, 5, 6, nothing happened. No episode. She didn't collapse, didn't faint, nothing. The Lord totally healed her when she was set free a few hours prior to that. And the next day, she was waiting for the episode because it was like a daily occurrence. Like every day she would be hit with this panic and then it would turn into a major battle. And then she would collapse, basically faint. She will have like seizures. You know what I'm saying? And like, it was not epilepsy. It was something else. Very close to epilepsy. But, I mean, she was completely unable to do anything. Imagine living like that. And the next day, she realized it's 3 o'clock. I'm not having an episode. That means Jesus set me free. Come on. Then she became an evangelist in her local town. And then she started preaching the gospel. So you never know what God is going to do with the one. Come on. One time I went to a church, a healing meeting in the middle of nowhere in Poland, in the northern province of Poland. I'm praying for all these beautiful Polish people born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. But some of them are Catholics too. We had a lot of Catholics in our meetings, and they came forward and received healing and encountered God and, you know, came to Jesus after the meeting. We had lots of people in our meetings in Poland, and the pastor's kid was a famous soccer player. He was actually playing in a minor league, and he was becoming a really well-known household name in that province, and the Lord was, you know, sort of opening doors and using him. And then he turned away. He became a rebel, the black sheep of the family. Turned away. He started doing parties and wasting his money. And then he had an accident. He injured his knee. And then he couldn't play. He was devastated. His dream of playing soccer in Europe was shattered to pieces. And then, you know, he came back to the Lord. You know what happens. He came back to the Lord, repented. You know, the Lord healed. Then the Lord used the doctors to repair the knee. But then, you know, he turned away, and the same story. He falls in sin, and he starts doing all the other things, and even worse, right? Then he has another accident, and this time his knee was completely gone, shattered, gone. The doctor said, you'll never be able to play soccer in your life. You're done, son. You're done. That's it. Forget about soccer. You'll never be able to play soccer again. He came to that meeting despite his dad inviting him. You know, despite of him rejecting the invitation, his dad was persistent. He's like, come on, son. You got to come and see the miracles that are happening here. You got to come. So he finally, you know, came to the meeting. He got in late. The service was wrapping up. And sometimes Jesus would do miracles, amazing miracles, when nobody's in the building and you're there standing ready to, you know, close the building. And then the Lord shows up. Hello? That's happened to me. I've seen most of my... That's why I always tell people, stay through the end, because Jesus can do something amazing out of this world when we're about to lock up. Hello? So stay through the end, because you never know. Jesus can have an appointment with you at the beginning, in the middle of the service, or at the end of the service. So I'm getting ready to wrap up my time. You know, I prayed for a lot of people, a lot of miracles and healings and all of that. And this guy, and I noticed that he was sitting there. And he was angry. And I had his arms wrapped. And, you know, he wasn't really happy to be there. And I approached him. God always sends you to the one. So I'm standing there. And I said, can I pray for you? And he got up, you know, with his crutches. He walked forward. And he's not really convicted. He's not really touched by God. But sometimes out of faith, you know, and out of prayer, And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I've learned not to read people's faces, because if I do, my goodness, I'll run away. Hello? I don't read people's faces. I don't read their emotion, whether they're receiving the word or not, because I know the word is being planted in the soil of their hearts. And whatever is going to happen afterwards is not my problem. It's the Holy Spirit's problem. So hello is give it to God. Hello? I'm not relying on my strength, because the gospel is not, it's not a self-help gospel. Hello? The gospel is connected to the Holy Spirit, the work of Jesus, the work of the cross. Come on. You're not a self-help Christian. You rely on the Holy Spirit for every little thing in your life. So I'm praying for this guy. This guy gets knocked out like that by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for him, and then bang, next thing I know, he's knocked out. Don't you love when the Holy Spirit knocks out someone like that? No one is getting ready to you know, nobody's even expecting. Nobody's even getting ready to catch him. So he gets knocked out by the power of God, and his dad looked at me. He opened his eyes. Like, what happened to my son? You know, he was a rebel. He hadn't been in church for a long time, and the Lord just touched him. The anointing just came upon him. And then he came under strong conviction of repentance. He started sobbing like a baby for like half an hour, and then he gets up. And he notices, this is amazing, that the pain, that, you know, the injury, whatever he was feeling, all the feelings were gone. Because in that moment, Jesus touched his knee and repaired the knee when he was on the floor. Jesus was doing surgery on him. Come on. So he gets up and he realizes, well, I'm able to bend, I'm able to flex. And then he, you know, he gets all excited. Now, Polish people don't demonstrate, they don't show their emotion easily. And so this guy is jumping, something he couldn't do before. This guy is running around the church. The elders were like shocked, like, what's going on with, you know, this PK? The guy goes out the building. He's going around this, like, town square. You know, in Europe, they have town squares everywhere. So he goes out the building, running around the town square, comes back. He's like, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. He became filled with the Holy Spirit, came back to Jesus, and now he's an evangelist having crusades of 2,000-3,000 people in Poland. Come on, church. You never know who you are going to touch in your life. Always be led to the one. Be led to the one. Number three, know your identity. The promises of God are generational, and God will build you as a mighty son and daughter who will carry out his purposes for generations to come. Your identity in Christ is as vital as your ID. Knowing who you are and walking in the fullness of God will allow you to maximize the benefits of his kingdom on earth. Number four, you've been granted an inheritance. Your inheritance is to walk in the fullness of your faith. Come on, church. Knowing who you are in Christ, walking in his authority and doing greater things through Christ Jesus. Mark 16:17 through 20. And these signs shall follow them. Come on, raise your hands if you believe it. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. God's giving you power to do mighty exploits here in Fort Wayne. Begin here. Begin in your Bethlehem. Begin in your house, in your neighborhood, in your community. Someone said, evangelism is the most difficult thing to do because you don't know how it's going to work. You don't know if the other person is receptive, or you don't know if the other person is even welcoming what you're saying. It may be challenging for someone who is not completely relying on the Holy Spirit. It's going to be challenging. But when you're relying on the Holy Spirit, evangelism will become your daily bread. It will become as easy as jumping in the car, getting behind the wheel and driving somewhere. When you started driving your car, it was terrifying. But then it became a daily thing to do. Every time you go to work, you get behind that wheel, you go somewhere. Evangelism is a muscle that you have to exercise it. If you don't, you will never know you have it and you carried it in you. Evangelism is necessary, it's needed, and every believer should be engaged in evangelism. No matter if you're an elder of the church, or if you participate in a certain board or committee, or you are too busy to do this, everyone, say with me, everyone. Everyone. One more time, everyone. Everyone. This is not my assignment, his assignment, or their assignment. This is our assignment. Amen. America needs to hear the gospel again. And if we don't preach the gospel again, we're going to lose an entire generation of millennials who are discontent, who are angry at the church. They don't want church. They want Jesus. So in 20, 30 years from now, the ones who will be voting, actually not even that long, in 10 years from now, even this coming election, the ones who will be voting are those millennials who you need to go and reach before it's too late. We have a great responsibility, great challenge, but I believe it is our ultimate destination. God is calling us to make a difference in this world. Let's be influencers and not conformers. Father, I thank you for the word. Thank you that this seed has been planted in fertile, in beautiful soil. Lord God, I thank you that the soil is beautiful and healthy. And the soil of your people in this house is ready for revival. The word is going to germinate. The word is going to grow. The word is going to bear a lot of fruit. I thank you that your anointing is already flowing in this house. Oh, I feel the presence of God. This is not going to be an ordinary service. And it's never ordinary anyway. I feel the anointing. Just begin to worship in the Spirit. Some of you may say, well, I'm prophetic. I'm not evangelistic. It works together. Well, I'm called to the marketplace. It works together. But I'm called to go and evangelize businessmen. Yes. And it works together. I'm called to this. That's not my gifting. Evangelism should be the heart of every believer. Every believer. Some of you may not be called to evangelize, you know, the homeless and you know, you may be called to evangelize the sports people. You may be called to evangelize the people in the arts, in the government, in the business. No matter where the Lord is placing you from Monday onwards, make a difference in your sphere of influence and let Jesus help you reach the world. Can we all stand up? And I'm going to ask you to just bring some worship. If you can play some worship. I'm going to pray for all of you who want like a double, triple impartation. You're like, wow, I'm ready to go out and win the lost.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.